Hello, I'm Rachel Roberts.
And I'm Megan Segura.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Okay, so let's get the sadness out of the way. Our first episode without Grace.
Break out the Kleenex.
She's gone. She's left us for LA.
Mm-hmm.
Good news, we have a new producer in the house.
Yes!
Her name is Nicole Day.
Hey. Hi, everyone. Am I supposed to be like more upbeat?
How's it? Just yes. Be yourself.
Clearly, ooh. Nicole is not used to being on-air talent, much like Grace was so.
But you know what? Within like 2 weeks, she had a following.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
She was a diva, had her own writer going.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Already.
Will you say it?
Oh, yeah. So we just learned that you are a Sex and the City fan.
I am.
Yes. Already better than Grace. Literally, we would make references and she'd be like, I don't know what you're talking about.
It's like the voice of a generation. How like could
if,
she not?
Like if I said, post it to you. What does that mean? This is a test.
Is this like a Samantha thing?
No.
I failed already.
All right. It's okay. It's fine.
We'll just go past it.
She's sweating.
Come on. I need some water.
But we want to introduce you properly to the listeners. So let's get a few questions going.
Yes.
Okay. So I already have your name.
Right.
Nicole Day.
Mm-hmm, it's me.
What is your favorite show on Bravo?
Housewives of Atlanta, for sure.
Okay. Yeah. Tell us why.
The shade I grab inspiration from personally, and it's creative shade. Like, you never hear the same joke twice. So I'm just like, just brilliant, honestly.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
Of all the housewives, who do you relate to most?
Whoa.
Who do you identify with?
Identify with? Probably Portia.
Okay.
Oh.
She's always so misunderstood, I feel.
Oh, I thought you were going to be like, because, you know, she's the queen or princess of Thoughtlandia.
Are you trying to call me a thought?
I'm joking.
Wow, first day. Okay. right, okay. Yeah, Portia's just so misunderstood, and I feel like I'm frequently misunderstood, and I always feel bad for her. Like, y'all don't hear her. I hear her.
Oh, you see her.
Yeah. We see each other.
Ooh, yes.
And the references.
Atlanta references. Yeah. Yeah. Already better than Grace.
Totally.
Damn.
Grace would never say, we see each other.
She would never.
Saying.
No, she wouldn't. She'd be like, a fun fact about the etymology of the eyeball when you see.
Yeah, that would be what Grace did.
Oh, I won't be doing any of that.
All right, last final question. Okay. Do you have a Real Housewives tagline?
Oh, I do, for sure. Okay, hold on. Let me think real quick.
Spin around.
I have to do the hair flip?
No.
No, I'm joking.
Some may say I'm too much, but I could also ask, are you enough?
Yes! Ooh! That's a good one!
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Nicole Day.
Nicole Day. So, the true test. Give us the news, Nicole.
So, we have the Dallas Season 3 trailer that just dropped.
Yes.
Huh. The new season comes out August 15th.
Yes. So very soon.
Yes.
What are we excited for?
Everything. Well, everybody's back.
Yes. Which surprises me because if you go back and listen to our interview with Leanne Locken, it really didn't sound like she was coming back.
She was in a dark place.
Yes.
And that was like 2 days before the reunion.
Right.
It was not good.
Yeah. So I was happy to see her back. All I'm thinking about is Mark and Carrie Duber's naked bodies embracing.
Okay, so I made GIFs of this, and I made several GIFs of that moment because I kept being like, nope, nope. Because like when you watch it repeatedly quickly,
yeah,
you're like, oh, and that's all I'm seeing? Like just the two bodies mushing? It was too much.
Were the blurs accurate, though?
I feel like watching it over and over and over again, I've seen more and Mark... More of Mark and Carrie than I ever thought.
Possible. I know the line that we keep throwing around.
Apparently I'm the toilet for our group.
No, you're not.
Watch me flush it, bitch.
I'm the toilet of the group.
Right, yes.
What do you think she means?
I honestly... Eric J. Mack, you guys know, he said it best, which is she really thought this was going to be like a... great one-liner that everyone's going to be saying, which she's right, but I don't think it makes any sense.
Right. Like, what does she mean? Like, that she takes everyone's crap and throws it away.
Oh, I don't know.
Megan already hates
it. Yeah,
this.
I don't
gonna
like
move
it.
On. She also says something else that you love about being exhausted.
Oh.
I'm exhausted. My weave is exhausted.
My weave is exhausted.
Right. Mm-hmm. That just is something else.
The panty liner on my underwear is exhausted.
The panty liner on my underwear is exhausted. Megan doesn't really like this kind of humor.
It's funny because I do and I don't. Like, there, I have a line and I don't know where it is. I think it's whenever you have me picturing bodily fluids, then I'm like, too much.
Okay, that's the line, Leanne.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk about other things. They're going to Copenhagen.
Oh, right.
They literally went like 2 weeks after I was there. So I feel like
you're
I'm
such a housewife.
Reliving. Right. I could have been there with them. Imagine. Oh, now I'm like really sad I wasn't. We could have overlapped. What if I saw them? Anyway, do you just feel at home?
Yeah. I mean, this is just what it looks like to go for a weekend home to the Richardsons. I will say, though, Deandra's mom to me is, feels the most at home in terms of like the hair and the makeup and the voice. Like that is embodies a lot of
Dallas.
What I grew up with.
Ooh.
And by the way, if you want a link to the full trailer, it's in the description below.
All right. So next we find out what's happening on the Southern Charm finale.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Are we ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Next time on the season finale of Southern Charm.
I got a message on Instagram. It was like, Ashley is like a high-end escort.
Oh, is that girl still around?
That girl. Girlfriend.
Does she hit on you?
Yes.
All right.
You've secretly always been the one I wanted.
Can I just point out that Craig's date didn't know to take her f***ing gloves off for dinner?
I love Naomi.
She's so delusional. I want to say every night you go to bed, you think about how Ashley Jacobs is winning.
I have to talk to Patricia. What should I say?
Oh, just be very contrite.
I'm so nervous, Jeff. I'm not going to lie.
Say thank you for having me.
I want them to be together.
Are you okay?
I do too.
Okay.
I apologize for some things that I did in our relationship.
I'm not a genuine person.
Do you think that I'm a nurse?
How would I know? I've never seen you do anything other than spend his money.
Here you f***ing go. This is California. Take your hands.
Ashley.
You know it's not going well in your favor if everyone's talking about how you're a hooker.
Don't forget your kids were taken away from you. Don't forget that.
You're threatening me.
I am.
Your girlfriend is a f***ing psycho.
All right.
Be careful. If she threatened me, she'll threaten you.
Come on, Thomas. Don't be a pussy. Tell her how great our relationship is. And we're not talking about you. I hear like something else talking. You f***ed with the wrong person in the wrong family. You're nothing but an egg donor. You are such a child. Are you going to hit me?
More Southern Charm, go to bravotv.com.
I always look forward to the Southern Charm finale because something crazy always happens.
Mm-hmm.
But also it makes me mad watching it because I'm like, how is Ashley still in the picture?
I mean, I really thought at the end of last week's episode, they were kind of saying like, she even asked Thomas's permission, like, is it okay with you if I walk away?
Right.
So I thought we were seeing maybe the end or the beginning of the end. But the fact that she's, like, clearly still very much there.
Right. I loved in this week's episode when Catherine says to Thomas.
So now dating her, do you feel like I was any less psycho?
Because really, like, the things that she was accused of being so terrible for pale in comparison. Especially for Ashley to bring up, like, well, your kids were taken away before.
Ah. And then to be like, you're an egg donor.
Not cool.
You f***ed with the wrong person in the wrong family. You're nothing but an egg donor. You are such a child.
I couldn't figure out what she was showing Austin because I watched that earlier.
Her medical.
I see. I was like, why is she showing him her license that she's from California?
That was uncomfortable to watch just that little snippet.
Very uncomfortable.
She's like putting it in his face.
I mean, when you're taking somebody's hand out.
Yeah.
Ugh. It's not good. It's not good. I just love Naomi.
Really?
Because I think that's about is being like, he could have told her at the polo match that actually, I've asked somebody else because we're done. But instead, right. That's why she's saying that.
Okay.
That's why she's saying that.
I'll wait then.
Yeah.
I'll reserve judgment.
For the first time ever, we're reserving judgment on the Daily Dish.
We have a bunch of new Real Housewives of New York interviews for you guys. We have Carol, we have Sonia, we have Ramona,
we have Tinsley.
I mean, my God. But first, we're going to switch it up and do Rose and Thorn.
Yes.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
What was your rose this week, Megan?
Okay. Rose, hands down, which, by the way, you kindly reminded me of.
I was like, how is this not your rose?
It was Naomi's kitten. Poking its head out of her shopping bag.
It was only 1.1 ounces.
So cute.
It's so little.
Stop. This is Rocky. I rescued her on the way here. She's paralyzed in her back leg, so she has a diaper on. Isn't she precious?
Oh, my gosh.
She's 1.1 ounces. I take shits bigger than you, cat.
Oh, I want to shop always with a kitten.
It's the background of my computer right now. It coming out of her purse. It's so cute.
What's your rose?
My rose is, oh my God, on the Real Housewives of Potomac, Monique sends this mime to invite everyone to Paris to Cannes. Giselle and Karen legitimately think he's just like a street performer trying to get like on camera.
I couldn't stop laughing. Not at the mime, but just at them actually thinking, because they must get so often people trying to get in the shot.
Which I've never thought about before, like genuinely.
You see, before the mime shows up, there's a guy in the background taking video with the phone. And I'm like, interesting, they're keeping this in the shot because it's just a bystander who's
taking a picture of filming. Yeah.
Yes. But so they thought this was another bystander.
In Giselle's blog, she was like, I was literally 2 minutes away from just, like, punching this guy. Like, what are you doing? Why are you getting near me? Get away.
I know, and I love that Karen's like, you know what? You can just have your camera time. We're going to go.
I'm just saying. Oh, my Lord. He wants camera time. It's very irritating. Okay, but can you move on? This is some bullshit. Who are you? All right, you got your 5 minutes of fame. You're good.
I can't.
No,
I knew
you would.
No, sir. No. Stop.
Don't come over here.
Giselle also said something super shady in her blog. It was like, she said, if you can't be nice to Potomac, I'm clearly not interested in flying to another country to see if you can be a decent human being.
Oh, that's deep.
Oh, what is your thorn, Megan?
My thorn is also from Southern Charm. And it's when Craig is talking about the downfall of his relationship with Naomi. And he says,
this is when I knew Naomi and I were screwed. In the beginning, if I saw her car in the driveway, I was pumped.
Yeah.
Because I knew she was home. I knew we started to be in trouble when
pull
I
out
prayed.
The heart was sing.
Do you still hope to see her in your driveway?
I just thought that was such a poignant, true sentiment. And it just makes me sad for him.
I know.
Because I have to say, I still get excited knowing Aaron's home.
Aww.
And I was like, that's good. That's a good sign. Maybe we'll make it.
In like 3 months, you're going to be like, uh-oh. I'm not excited.
I wasn't excited today.
No, it would that would like...
You felt it.
Felt it in my soul. Sorry. I like literally was a mime for a moment.
Right.
And Megan had to like fill in what I was doing.
Well, what is your thorn?
Ashley hitting not only on Shep we see, but then Craig saying she hit on him too.
Huh?
Would you date me if I break up with Thomas?
Well, I'm not a good safe bet.
Darn, I was like, maybe there'd be a reason to stay in South Carolina.
Should I tell him what she said to me at the tasting? She was like, well, Craig, if only you were, like, a few years older, mm-hmm. I would be dating you instead.
Insane. Because she's doing that very clever girl thing where it's a joke, I'm just joking, but really what you're doing is you're dipping your toes in the water to see if,
yeah,
if maybe there's something there.
Like, maybe I can stay in Charleston and have Thomas pay for my apartment while dating Shep.
Or that she's thinking, well, Shep's rich, too.
Yeah, no, that was gross to me.
Yeah, not cool.
Yeah. Okay, but the real rose of the week, dare I say, satchels of gold.
Ooh.
My favorite phrase in the whole world. If you don't know it, you don't deserve to listen to this podcast. The New York Super Cheese. Mid-season Super Cheese. Basically, the best thing I've seen all week.
Right.
Still to come this season on The Real Housewives of New York City.
Profession. Toaster oven chef, model slash actress.
You gotta stay away from people, places, and things. And like drugs, I guess.
Event producer, publicist.
Speaking of babies.
You're pregnant.
Film producer.
We're gonna do something amazing tonight. We're gonna speed date.
I thought I'd bring you a drink.
Oh, our favorite line is coming up.
You want me a drink?
I do a little bit more cabaret-esque. I don't do cabaret.
Oh, you want to take off your clothes?
No, so I only like, had 4 weeks to practice.
Lord Jesus.
Okay, like you know really what I realized? Nervous. I'm there. I'm like, I could be one of these heads.
That's crazy.
Cartagena, Colombia.
That's the house?
Yes.
Holy sh!
I can't imagine anybody not having the most amazing time in this town.
Hola, chaquitas.
What? Hola, chaquitas.
Take the elevator. Hope you get stuck in it.
It's just Ramona.
Is this when she falls out and hurts her leg? How does Ramona hurt her leg?
What?
Yeah, because this is before the boat ride.
You just have a sort of smugness maybe. Of like maybe you won some prize.
Excuse me, back.
What do we think of the one giant feather
I told
earring?
I you really like me.
Okay, well, and maybe
then,
that's it.
And then two.
You dare talk to me like that.
An ex-countess?
You do someone get an
Dorinda is just
You're the one with the mugshot.
Yeah.
That's what she said to me, my friend.
I stood for you for everything. I just got arrested for you.
This is not what you want to do right now.
Stay out of it. You got no skin in this game.
You got no skin in the game. She's a gangster.
So much.
So much happens. Your favorite moment.
You brought me a drink. I brought you a drink.
Oh, hands down my favorite. We were saying that literally all week in the office.
Second favorite is Hola Chaquitas.
Yes, yeah. Yes, for sure. I think my third favorite is Pop.
Oh, with Sonia with the lip gloss. So good. Also, Sonia's bare ass.
Just like out there for us all to see, which like we've seen before. Let's all remember the Marie Antoinette.
Yes.
When she had a big bruise. But it's back and better than ever.
I know. So I just came from a meeting where they talked about this trip to Colombia. And Ryan Flynn, who's been on the podcast before, was basically describing three huge moments, and we got to watch one of them. So all I'm going to say is we're including a link to the Midseason Super Tease in the description below. Watch it and pay attention to the guy in the red scarf. That's all I'll say. But we want to know what your like big standout moments were from this Super Tease. Tweet us using hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
At Bravo TV.
Yes. All right, so let's get into this week's interviews.
Yes.
All new batch of Roni interviews.
Yes. Let's start off with Sonia Rita. You got to talk to her, and I've never been more jealous.
I know. It's been a while since I had talked to Sonia, and I honestly completely forgot. And Emily Exon, who's been on the podcast before, she was sitting next to me listening to it, and she kept laughing out loud. She was like, oh, my God, Sonia is the best. Because she really just comes in, like, on fire, like, let's go. So here's that. They said we only have you for 5 minutes.
All
we have
right,
to hurry.
All right, it takes 5 minutes. Just okay. Go my guts.
I don't know if you want to wear the headphones to hear yourself. You don't have
to. Yeah, I've done a podcast.
Okay.
I got tired of myself. We're rolling. All right, we're rolling.
All right, we're speeding this up. Sonia Morgan, you're in the house, but for a short time.
Yeah.
How are you? We've missed you.
Well, let me ask you that after you watch another 22 or 23 episodes. You'll get to see a lot of TNA in the cabaret.
Well, I was going to say, everyone in this office has been talking about the cabaret, but partly because they've seen you naked now.
Again and again. If you don't go to the cabaret, you'll see me elsewhere half naked, I'm sure. If you come to the gay party, I don't know what episode that is.
But if you've got
tuck
it,
your penises.
Flaunt it.
You got to tuck your penises at that party.
Okay.
Because we've got the money moves.
Right.
Are you surprised it's taken off, this cabaret?
No, not at all. Because I know Luann way back when. She always did improv. And I remember my first time on Andy Cohen with Lou. She was doing her disco hits, right? And I said, you know what? She should just do her Broadway. You should hear it, Andy. It's amazing. I remember saying that. And here she is, full circle.
Yeah.
Belting them out.
You know, you guys have been in the headlines a lot. You know, the whole group of Roni ladies.
Yeah.
And partly because of Luann making headlines. Do you feel like you guys all should have chipped in for a fruit basket for her? Like, thanks fruit for the basket. Publicity.
Well, all I know is she and I have been on a health kick. That's all over BravoTV.com, by the way, if you want to follow that. You know, she went to rehab, came back funnier than ever. She surprised herself. She didn't realize how freaking funny she is when she's not drinking. Really, really funny. So anyhow, we've been going to, like, we went to Kripalu, to the health center, and then we went to this place that I just discovered, Hilton Head Health, the spa and resort. Amazing. And we've been getting up at 5 in the morning, 7 a.m. beach walks and yoga. And she's great because she gets up early. I don't. So together, we're unstoppable. And I went last October to Costa Rica, the retreat in Costa Rica, and I gave up meat and gluten and alcohol.
Like a juice cleanse, right?
Yeah, they had juice and big salads for lunch. So it wasn't so drastic like I used to do. Yeah. Bethany and I used to go to a place that we just did juice. That was hard ass.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah. So yeah, it's going to be, you're going to see this season, there's been some shifts of... I think the friendships shift because shift in values. You know, those who are still partying, those who are not partying, those who are on a spiritual path, those who are still doing, you know, or
who is that?
Well, Dorinda.
I mean, from the jump, she's after you.
But she's always after me, and I'm like, why? I mean, growing up, it always used to be jealousy. I don't think it's jealousy. You know, growing up, all of us women, it's jealousy. That's the big J. Not the sexy J in Sony, but the big J word in jealousy.
Right.
But I don't feel it's jealousy with Dorinda. I feel it's about her, period. And, you know, it's hard when it just keeps, like, I'm the whipping boy.
Yeah.
Sony's always the whipping boy.
Right. I mean,
because I always have a great time, no matter what, right?
What about you and Ramona? For the last few seasons, you guys have been up and down. We fans of Ramona need to know.
You know, everyone's behind Ramona. There's fan pages that follow us, and I tag all the time. And when Ramona and I are together, there's nothing like it. It's gold. And I love her. She's like a sister. And she's the person I could travel alone with. You know, and talk about poop and boobs and our butts and our fat and our kids and our dogs vomit. But you saw in Mexico, we were like, oh, we'll always be friends. But then there's this, you saw in the trailer this summer, I had to have some time for myself. And she's like, she doesn't call me back. She lies. Not calling back means I don't go stay with her for 3 days and listen to her loud music and eat her food.
Oh, no.
I'm not eating food. Get the memo.
Not eating chicken not in palm. Right now.
Right. So you know, it's like for me, it seems like Ramona's making it about Ramona right now. So that's okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, I save the deep questions for you because you don't hold back. Of these ladies, you guys are all kind of single right now. Who's getting the most action?
Well, you know, mattress action, come on. You're looking at her.
Yes.
Well, I feel like one of my secrets, besides eating well and doing everything in moderation, you know, comes a good, healthy sex life. When you're open to the universe and love, you don't have to have an easy pass either. I mean, my one-night stands never leave. So it's not like I need an easy pass.
Right.
I need to boot them out. They get a foot in the behind afterwards. Well, not really, but you know what I mean.
Right.
They have to leave. my problem is that they're too young. I want someone older and established who has their own life and their own family. And I'm ready. I keep saying that. You know, my daughter's applying to colleges now, and she's a super, you know, super student and very focused on that. So I'm getting very close to that. You'll see this season, there's a lot I can't tell you right now, but there's so many things leading to the road of Sonia, like hanging her kinky boots up.
Ooh. Well, we saw Rocco in the premiere. What happened to Frenchie?
Well, this is the thing. Rocco is a diehard. He plays the long game. And yes. I had known that from the beginning because I know how my ex-husband got me. And Frenchie came on, like I said, the one night stand that never left. I thought he lived in France and he has a place here. And then I kept his stuff at my home. So Frenchie's in Paris right now and he wants me to come over. He just bought another hotel. He's got the three restaurants now. That's a lot, you know, I have a taste for luxury and luxury has a taste for me.
Yeah.
And so, that goes hand in hand. Frenchie and I, that is that tagline. Someone like Rocco is more like my ex, very solid. Well, they're both solid citizens. It's just, it's so hard. You can't really compare on paper. You have to go with your heart.
Yeah.
And who do you want to wake up to every day? Your best friend.
Right. We're getting the wrap-up signal from okay. press.
Okay. Well, so Ramona would say neither of them, you know? Ramona would say neither of them. But it could be timing as well. So I'm not throwing the baby out. I'm not throwing the babies out with the bathwater.
Keep those hot babies.
Yeah. They're both wonderful.
Quickly, tell us what fans can expect this season.
They can expect, once again, the unexpected. It's really intense. It's ridiculous. And that's what I love about our show. New York girls can be really intense and witty, and they go there because we trust each other and we trust ourselves to do what we want to do. But once again, very funny.
Yes.
Just sticky fun.
Great. Thank you so much.
Sticky. Very sticky.
Sonia, you're one of a kind. Thank you for being you. And Rachel, I'm sorry you weren't there to experience it.
I know, someday, because I don't think I got to interview her last year either.
It'll happen. You got to put it out in the universe more.
Okay. Got to put her on my vision board.
But speaking of jealousy, the next person, Tinsley, you talked to, and I wasn't there.
I know. And you've been like when we found out that Tinsley was coming to Roni, you were like freaking out.
Oh, yes, because I was a big follower of like the It Girls back in the day, and she was one of them.
Now that you've known her for some time,
yeah.
What do you think? Like, what were your expectations versus like?
I think it's kind of one of those things where she was always such a mystery. Like, even though she was out in the press a lot, she had a small stint on a reality TV show, but you didn't know her. And now it's weird that you know everything about her.
I mean, like, everything.
Right.
My eggs!
Yeah. So the allure, or not the allure, the mystery is gone a little bit. But it's very interesting to watch.
She came in and she was just like the sweetest, cute as a button. Like I walked away and she was like, she's like, the phrase cute as a button was Tinsley Mortimer. Like, she's just so cute. She had new hair.
Oh.
She finally cut it. I was like, did Carol finally make you change your mind?
Oh.
Yeah. So listen and find out.
Hi, Tinsley.
Okay.
No, but yeah, no, I
some people have feelings about
oh no, messing but I up. Just oh, that's not gonna mess me up now that I cut my hair and I wear it straight, the curls,
like, you know, yeah. I was gonna ask you
no,
about
it's like
the
a
hair,
whole new thing.
Yeah, yeah,
okay, cool, but like, okay, I just can't hear myself.
Can you hear now?
Oh my God, I'm gonna sound like
Yay.
So sexy.
Yeah, I was listening to you in the other room, like, she's got an amazing radio voice. It is this like very like. Phoebe when she's sick in like the best way,
yeah,
you know, she has that like sexy voice.
But I feel really weird. I feel like I need to talk like this.
Oh,
I don't
God,
know.
Please do. I like
okay.
it. but yeah, we are here with Tinsley Mortimer.
Yay!
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
You walked in and I mentioned your hair. It's short now. Was this Carol's fault? Did she get to you?
You know what? I swore that I would never, ever cut my hair. And when Carol suggested it, I thought she was crazy. And now that I've done it, I love it.
Yeah?
I love it. You know what? Actually, it did everything that I thought it wouldn't. I thought that it'd make me feel older. I thought it'd make my face look fatter. And it makes me look, I feel like, thinner and younger.
Younger.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I know, because I do think, like, Ramona had the really long hair for a while. But when you get it short, it just, I agree. Sometimes it can when it's really long, it makes you look older.
It just like freshens you up. It makes it kind of, it gave me like a little new sort of step. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like more vibrant.
It looks amazing.
Thank you. I mean, you have to say that now.
No. When you leave and be like, oh my God.
Oh my God. What did she do? Get those extensions. I know.
But season two.
Yay. Yeah.
What has it been like season two versus season one?
Oh my God. Well, you know, obviously coming in. So when I came in, obviously it was season 9 of The Real Housewives of New York City. But for me, it was my first season and it was a lot. You know, I mean, I just been through a lot in Palm Beach and I didn't realize as much as how traumatic my experience in Palm Beach was really until I got to New York and then living with Sonia and then filming a TV show is a lot. So, this experience now, season 2, which is now season 10, which is amazing. You know, I just feel so lucky to be a part of this whole franchise, this whole thing, and to be able to come in at season 9 and then now 10. It's just great. For me, it's my life, look. So, like, it's hard to break it down into, you know, seasons, but this was such a better time for me. I mean, I am in a better place. I've moved out of Sonia's. I live in a hotel, which is fabulous. I have room service. I don't have to cook. I love it. But also just, you know, just feeling, you know, you just get used to the cameras and just the girls. And I have better friendships now on the show and have made really, really legit, real friendships. And it's great. I started to speak up a little bit more for myself too, which is good. Definitely you see that coming up. And maybe where I say a few curse words, which I'm sorry, grandfather, who's 94, and I apologize, who watches the show religiously. I apologize, and I swore to him I would never curse again last season, and I'm sorry, but I had to, grandfather, I had to, because Sonia was being a bitch, but anyway. And just not being truthful. I just don't like friends to, you know, mm-hmm. It felt like she wanted to take me down for some reason. I don't know why.
Talking about her going around saying that Scott paid for the
right,
the gift card and all of that.
I honestly, a present is a present. I don't really, you know, you shouldn't be questioning where it comes from, but I don't understand her motives in saying that Scott paid for it. First of all, I have been dating Scott for maybe like 2 weeks at that time. I mean, I don't know what guy, I mean, but great, good for you if you got that. But like, I don't know what guy is going to do that for you. Not to mention, I had already planned to move out of Sonia's and move into my hotel before I even met Scott. That whole thing was set up. No one's paying for me. I mean, and you know, it's for me, I did grow up well and I had a nice family that did provide for me and I was lucky to have that. And certainly I have money from my family, but it doesn't mean that I don't work hard. I've worked hard my whole life. I mean, after I was a national tennis player, I went to Columbia University. I played tennis there. I worked at Vogue. I worked at Harrison & Schiffman. It was a PR company. I had my own handbag and clothing line in Japan for 10 years. I wrote a book called Southern Charm. Like, I have really worked my butt off, and I've never relied on my family money, even though it's there, and that's great. And I just, to imply that it's almost like I can't take care of myself without a man or my family is insulting. It's disrespectful to my relationship. And at the time, when, you know, when she was even saying this, Scott and I were broken up. So right. I don't know.
Did you feel extra, like, the need to say something to her because you were broken up with Scott, too?
Well, you know, honestly, I was fired up because I really honestly was, Scott and I were not together at the time, and it was hurtful. I was going through my breakup, and the last thing I want to hear is that, oh, we're broken up, but yet he's still paying for me. Like, no, that is not the case. Like, we're broken up. He's never paid for me. Yes, he's bought me nice presents and I'll gratefully accept a Chanel bag. That's awesome.
me too.
You know, but I'm just saying, like, it was, she didn't realize. She acts like she knows me so well, and a lot of times she, you know, she really doesn't. I haven't opened up to her as much because I've felt that she's not had my back. I mean, particularly when we were living together. So she didn't know anything, and for her to say that he's paying for me when we're not even together was hurtful.
Yeah, I have to ask, because you're here, we only have a few minutes, the whole Bethany and Carol apparently maybe fall out. You're so close with Carol now. What about it?
I adore Carol, and she's been nothing but an amazing friend to me, and I've loved to get to know her better. And It was just a great surprise joining the show, not ever having met her and knowing her. She introduced me to Scott, which was so sweet of her. And, you know, she said, she was like, you know, she's like my wing woman. And, you know, she took me under her wing, actually, too, which she was really supportive and great. It's sad to see our friendship, you know, get messed up for whatever reasons and deteriorate. And I've only known Bethany and Carol as close friends. So it's weird for me to see them not being as close. My relationship with Carol has zero to do with anything to do with, you know, she and Bethany. I just hope that, you know, that they can work things out and come, you know, back to better terms.
We've seen this a lot on Beverly Hills, kind of like competitive friendships. Do you feel like there was a little bit of a competition there at all, or watching the show, seeing interviews now?
You know, I don't think that there's anything competitive. I think that perhaps Bethany was close with Carol before I joined the show. And I think Bethany may have been a little bit surprised by Carol and I being close, because I think that actually Carol, and she admittedly said so, that she, you know, had, you know, reservations about me joining the show, thought that I was this other kind of person. And so I think that, and Bethany said that she actually was really excited about me joining the show. So I think that it was a little bit strange for Bethany to maybe see that Carol and I grew close. But I mean, she introduced me to Scott. Like, right. I mean, it's not that hard to figure out how it started. And then we spent time together. Scott also knows Adam well. He knows Tripp, who is, you know, in Carol's building, who's one of Baby's daddies, the dog.
Right.
Like, I mean, that's how Carol and Scott know each other, through Tripp. And then, so it's like a back history there and a backstory. And obviously, I mean, once we started to hang out and off the show and everything, we became close. So maybe that was it. Maybe there was a little bit of like a confusion, like, wait, how did you guys become so close? I don't think it's anything to do with competition. I think it was just maybe a little bit of perhaps confusion and just
surprise.
Maybe, look, but Carol is not a one girl, like gal pal type of girl. Like, she's a solid friend. She's friends with everybody. If she, you know, she gives her heart and soul to her friendship. And I think that, you know, you can be friends with a lot of people at the same time.
Absolutely. I have to ask, because we heard whisperings about this infamous boat trip that you all go on.
Right. look, I'm a terrible flyer. If I'm flying and the plane is shaking, any sort of mild turbulence, I think we're going down. But on a boat, I'm just a little bit more comfortable for whatever reason, maybe because we're literally like we're on
the water.
So
yeah.
I know if worst case, I'm going to dive over and I can swim. I can't fly, but I can swim. So I'm like, you know, so I didn't feel like it was as bad as everybody thought it was. But I also was in the front of the boat, and in the back of the boat, I think we had a lot more like turbulence and experience, and there was furniture moving around and people got sick and I can't, you know, people were afraid.
Okay, and then I just have one last question. I was at the performance of Luann for the Countess and Friends that you guys were at.
Yes.
Thoughts?
I loved Luann's cabaret show. I am super proud of her. I mean, she rocked it. She gave it. It was great. I was up in the, I was dancing. Like, my hands were flailing. I was up, and I was excited for her. I was singing Money Can't Buy Me Class. I thought she did a great job. I'm really proud of her. I thought it was great. I think she's made for that. I think that is perfect for her. She did a great job.
Yeah, and I loved how she kind of took, laughed at herself.
From experience, when you do hit rock bottom, which I experienced myself, and strangely and ironically enough, we both hit rock bottom kind of in a very similar way. Both being arrested in Palm Beach. Like I said,
you can't write it.
You know what? You can't. It's too ironic. It's crazy. And I said, like, nowadays, it's like, if you don't have a Palm Beach mugshot, like, you ain't nobody. Like, I'm sorry.
Oh,
like,
man.
It's not a rite of passage.
I gotta work on it.
She's like my soul sister. And no, I'm proud of her. I mean, you gotta take that dark place and then build up from it. And that's what I've been trying to do too. And I think she's successfully doing it. And I think she seems great. She looks great. The cabaret show is great. And I'm proud of her. I mean, you can't not be. She's done well.
Totally. Well, thank you so much for
being
on our show.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And my sexy radio voice.
Yes. Thank you so Thank much. You.
Oh my god. That oh my god. So it's fun. So weird to talk like that.
I know.
Now I'm like, oh, so deep.
Thank you so much, Tinsley. Again, you are just like so adorable. I'm gonna talk to you all the time. But that's not all.
That's right. We have Carol Radziwill next.
Yes.
This was fun because we talked about the taglines and she gave me a little bit of insight into how it works. She was also confounded that that's the tagline they chose. She thought they were going with something else.
Did she give you the something else?
Yes. And then, of course, we talk about Adam and when's the last time they got quote unquote coffee?
Coffee.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Carol.
Hi.
Thank you for being here. Season 10. I can't believe it.
I know. I can't believe it either. That's six seasons that I've been on this show.
You know, every time I say that we're going to interview Carol, people get excited in a way that's different for other housewives. Like, people are excited about other housewives, but with you, they feel like, Carol, like they know you. You're their friend. And I think it's maybe because you're sort of like the Greek chorus sometimes. You're saying what everyone's thinking.
Well, do I do that? I think I'm a very rational, centered person. So I think a lot of people who are watching the show think of themselves that way. And I feel like that's relatable to them. I get that a lot when people stop me on the street. But I always, you know, I think that, you know, they're like, oh, you're my favorite. We would be friends. But then I think, do they say that to everyone? Like stopping Luann on the street and saying that? Stopping Ramona on the street and saying that? As much as I try to, you know, listen, I would love to be super shady and flip tables. It seems like fun to have that kind of personality every once in a while. It's just that I'm by nature and training, a journalist, is a very rational person. Mm-hmm. So my mind just doesn't think that way. It's steeped in facts and logic. So a lot of the drama is surrounding emotions. So I don't lead with my emotions. I lead first with logic and reason and try to get to the bottom of something. And the other women tend to lead with their emotions first, and then they follow up with some sort of logic.
Right.
But then, you know, there are like, I mean, honestly, I wish I was more of a screamer.
Right.
Like, Dorinda cracks me up every time she opens her mouth. Like, I just couldn't get away with any of the stuff that she says.
Yeah.
Just like, like, she makes me laugh. So even when she's not trying to.
Right. You know, I want to paint a scenario. Let's say tomorrow Bravo disappears. The worst possible thing happens, and Real Housewives of New York disappears with it. Who would you genuinely be sad to not be spending time with on a regular basis of these ladies?
Oh, you mean if we all like imploded, like we didn't exist anymore?
Like the show just didn't exist, the network didn't exist.
I mean, I think I would miss spending time with Dorinda. You know, I would miss times spent with Bethany. I'm being nostalgic. You know, I don't know, Ramona, like I don't know, each one of them have his own special little like place. I can't imagine like not seeing all of them
right
again. Like, it just feels like it's a really tight knit group of friends and frenemies and enemies. The idea of like not seeing any of them again is just sort of strange to me. I've been now part of that little group for 6 years.
Right. Okay.
But maybe I wouldn't miss any of them. Maybe I'm like, thank God, that's over.
Has there ever been a season where you seriously thought to yourself, I don't know if I can come back to this show?
Pretty much every season.
Yeah.
Like, that does come through. It is like, it's a hard job. I mean, it's very taxing. It's a combination of, you know, production and producing and improvising and then dealing with kind of, you know, how to tell stories and narratives. Like, you know, I was running the marathon, so I thought, well, how do you show that visually on television? So you come up with all these different ideas and you talk to producers and sometimes they have ideas, but I feel like it's really up to the individual. It's like up to me to kind of figure out how to tell the stories that are going on in my life. And that's a big job. And then to get there and then remember like who you're mad at and who you like and who you hate and this person said this and like to keep it all in your head. And you're basically like, we're like an improv troupe. Mm-hmm. With no talent for improv, obviously, because we're all talking over each other. And it's a lot, you know, there's a lot going on. And it's 5 months and it's emotionally and physically taxing. So I do think about that. It does go through my head every year. Like, can I do this again? And also, is it interesting to me? Like, is there something that I want to say or do or show? And, you know, is the audience still interested? You know, I think all of that comes into play. You know, but it's 6 years. So now I can't, you know, I thought I'd do it for like 2 or 3 years and, you know, it'd be like a really kind of odd experience and in which I would take away and do something. And, you know, that's, I never thought I'd be on it. I never thought people would be interested for 6 years.
Yeah.
You know, that's just, that's a big chunk of time.
I mean, I think that things keep happening that surprise us as fans. You know, December, Luann made headlines. And, you know, what was your reaction?
Oh, my God. That first, disbelief. Like, you know when you're reading something about someone you know and you're like, this cannot be true. And then I was like, wait a minute. Like, she hit a police officer and then escaped from handcuffs. And, of course, in my mind, it was like the movie version of it. Like she was like escaped from her handcuffs and was running across the street to get away and scream. I mean, the whole thing was like right out of a movie. But I felt bad. I mean, I felt terrible. Like I can't even imagine what it's like to be arrested. I mean, I get pulled over for going through a red light and I get like panic attack because I'm like, ugh, what is he, you know? I don't do well with cops and get very oddly aggressive. So I can't even imagine what it would be like to be arrested, put in a cop car and booked and mugshot. And it was pretty shocking. It was pretty shocking.
Well, this turn into cabaret, I feel like, has been an interesting like segue from like making lemonade out of lemons, sort of.
I mean, I think she needed some... I think she was always planning on doing the cabaret show before the arrest. That was always like she'd been talking about it. So we kind of knew that this was happening. And I thought I thought maybe that she would decide not to do it because of what had happened. But I'm glad that she did it. It gave her something to really focus on. And I think that was really important. I think she's taking sobriety seriously. And at least that's what I saw after she came back from rehab and we were filming. And, you know, the other women, I don't drink too much, but the other women, you know, didn't reduce their level of drinking, you know, in sympathy with Luann at all. But it didn't seem to bother her. It didn't seem to bother her. She was pretty strong. And she was, you know, I met her at a meeting after she had an AA meeting. And I was really, really impressed by, you know, her ability to do that. I wasn't sure that she'd be able to. You know, Luann is someone who like doesn't look back too much, and she will say that she never looks back and she's always moving forward and stuff. But sometimes you got to look back and learn the lesson, you know, and then move forward. So I think she's really taking this seriously. And I think the cabaret for her was just like fun moment, you know, to balance out all the really, you know, dark stuff that she needs to like deal with in her life now.
Yeah. When is the last time you had coffee with Adam? And when's the last time you had coffee with Adam?
I'm so clever. Isn't that so funny? Sometimes I make those kind of jokes and I think no one gets them. Like even the women, like I'm saying like wink, wink, yeah, we had coffee. But I'm glad the audience gets it.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you'll see the evolution or de-evolution of my relationship with Adam over the course of the season. But Ultimately, I think he's a really good guy, and we had a 3+ year relationship, and that was important to me and important to him. And we haven't had coffee recently, But I you know, I can see going forward that there'll be room in my life and his life for some sort of friendship. And, you know, he was an important part of my life for three years is a big relationship for me. I don't, you know, yeah. I don't stay in relationships that long, and I need long breaks in between, you know, so I'm not looking to hop into another relationship. So, we'll see what happens, but yes, the audience will definitely see. It's difficult to break up with someone. It's definitely more difficult to do it on national television.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of like, oh, God. Because you don't want to say everything. But, like, I'm pretty honest, and I can't not talk about what's going on in my life. And not in, like, a dramatic way or a salacious way, but it's just, like, a real way, like you would talk to your girlfriend.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not really looking forward to reliving that. But
yeah,
it is what it is. And, yeah, there's definitely been shifts in all sorts of relationships on the show.
Thank you so much for being on, and
you're welcome.
Great talking to you.
I love your podcast. What does "See What Transpires" mean?
It's from,
is that your tagline?
No, it is. This office used to belong to Oxygen, our sister network, and "See What Transpires" was one of the taglines for them before they moved to being a murder network.
Oh. Are they murder?
It's all murder all the time.
Oh, my God. I love murder.
Me, too. Oh, I was so excited.
You know what you're going to love? There's a new show coming on called Killing Eve. I just watched some episodes.
That's
it's so good.
Right?
Yeah. It's really, really good.
I think I saw a trailer for that. It looked good.
I don't know. I think it's on Netflix or something. It's good. Starts next week. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Carol, a pleasure as always.
Thank you.
Last but certainly not least.
The Ramona Coaster.
The Ramona Coaster. Who is like the most
who you see on TV.
I was just going to say that. Like literally everything you think of her on TV, she is in person. Like there's
right.
no, you don't glean any new nuances. Like a lot
right.
of times we like meet someone, you're like, oh, you're a lot quieter than I thought you were. Or, oh, I'm seeing a more silly personality than I do. But no, she's
Ramona.
Exactly
yep, yep.
It.
And I say this in a loving way, kind of like a bull in a china shop.
Yes. But I didn't get to talk to her again. Megan, I was, where was I? In like Copenhagen or something?
Yeah, I think
I
you
think
were.
I was in Copenhagen. Ugh.
It all comes back to Copenhagen.
Right, obviously.
But yeah, Ramona talks about her favorite moment ever in the 10 years of doing Real Housewives of New York. And it involves Mario.
When I found out, I was shocked.
Everyone, we're here with Ramona Singer. Hello.
Hi, how are you today?
Happy 10 years.
I know, it's a 10th year anniversary. It's almost like a wedding anniversary.
Right? Does it feel like 10 years?
Yes and no, because it just seems like yesterday that I started doing this. But then when I look at Avery, she'll be turning 23 in May. And when she started the show, she was this like 11-year-old, flat-chested, little skinny mini. So
yeah.
Children are the test of time.
Yeah, Luann said the same thing yesterday, but also her dog, Aston Martin, she was like, that was a puppy, and now he's this 12-year-old dog, you know. I don't get tired of watching you, ladies.
Oh, I'm glad we entertain you.
You get told all the time, and I mean, obviously, I'm looking at you. I can attest to it. You look amazing for any age, but especially your age. But does that, hearing that all the time, put the pressure on you?
No, it makes me realize what I'm doing is good. It makes me realize what I'm doing is right. And I think the biggest thing is that I kept my face out of the sun as much as possible, and I started using anti-aging skincare products once I turned 40. But now I found out from this doctor who's endorsing my product line, Ageless, that you have to start at 23, girls. 23
oh
years
goodness.
Old. You start losing your collagen at 23.
Oh, we really have a lot working against us as women.
I know, don't we? We got the shorter end of the stick, didn't we?
So I was curious, you know, you guys have this small window of downtime between the reunion and then filming the new season. Do you enjoy that time to yourself, or do you find you're missing like the cameras and the fans and the interaction?
I love my downtime. Basically, we film 5 months and we get 3 weeks off. And for instance, as soon as we stopped filming, I was traveling for a month and a half, basically, or a month. And that was just great to do that. And the reunion really is only one day, which is in July. So we really have off 7 months. Oh, so that's it's not nice a bad gig.
Time. Yeah. Do you find that like you're itching to get back to it?
It's a double-edged sword because when we work, it's really intense and it's can be emotionally jarring because, you know, we're seven women that like each other, but at times we really go at each other's throats. So it can be quite emotionally disturbing, to say the least. So when we're not filming, it's kind of nice to take a break from everyone and just see them, you know, now and then. And you're under different kind of business pressures and different type of work pressures. So it's a good balance. And yeah, when we start filming again, am I excited about it? Absolutely. I have fun when I film with all these ladies. And I always say I'll continue to do the show as long as I have fun, because you have to love what you do to be good at it.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious, you know, you and Sonia Ramonia, I'm always curious about the status, because we've seen you guys go have your ups and downs.
Right.
And what's happening? What are we going to see this season for Ramonia?
Well, it's, you know, relationships do change. They go up and down. You're going to see a big shift in Bethany and Carol's relationship. Because of that, Bethany is a little bit, you know, has a different relationship with different girls. Because of it, Carol, Dorinda, and I got extremely close this season. Yes, you will see from the premiere that Sonia and I are a bit on the out.
And you and Bethany. Is this going to be another season of you versus Bethany?
You know, I don't verse anybody. I just think Bethany at times, she's at a point in her life where maybe she's not totally happy. And she's either screaming at you or crying at you. And, you know, I was just trying to have a discussion about, an intelligent discussion about business. And she just got all hot-headed and didn't want to hear it and just started like being not quite so nice. And it is what it is. That's Bethany.
Yeah. Are we going to see you dating?
Basically, this season, I am not dating anyone. I really put my passions into my Ageless by Ramonia skincare line, developing that and packaging that. And you're going to see that, how it worked through the show. I found a phenomenal doctor to endorse it, Dr. Amy Lewis. She's a graduate of Penn and Yale. She's still on the board of Penn for dermatology. She's on the boards for some major pharmaceutical companies. I also spent time, and I did it very quickly. I completely transform my home in Southampton. I worked with this great contractor in town. And yeah, that's really, I put my energies more into myself, be myself and I. And I think, you know, you have to just get yourself together first before you can really find someone. And if you find someone, it just happens organically. I mean, I'm at a point in my life. I mean, I have my financial success. I have my friends. I have my daughter. So of course, I can't go to bed with my skincare line. So right. That's the only problem. It's kind of nice to snuggle in bed with someone at
night,
isn't it?
Totally. Well, it's funny because Vicki Gunvalson from Real Housewives of Orange County, she told us that she made a vision board, and the guy that she's now with is basically all the things she put on her vision board. If you were to create a vision board of a man and like all the dream components he would have, what would it be?
Well, it's interesting you told me that, because Vicki told me and shared the same thing. And I do believe positive thinking creates positive results. So I definitely wake up in the morning, go to sleep at night saying I would like a gentleman in his 50s to 60s, someone who's been married before because it shows commitment, someone who has children that are 18 or older because my daughter's older and I really don't want to deal with young children. And I really want someone who has a child because they'll understand how close Avery and I are together. And I think that's important. Someone who's warm, caring, giving, doesn't take himself too seriously, can live in the moment, makes me laugh. I want to laugh. Boy, do I want to laugh. And someone that's just as comfortable going with me to a black tie charity event, or just being in the kitchen, a t-shirt, barefoot in jeans, cooking up a meal with me and a glass of wine or two.
All right. You hear that, listeners? She's waiting. I remember at the reunion for last season that you said Avery was about to move in with you because she had just graduated school. Is she still living with you?
Avery will be moving out with some roommates as of June.
Okay.
And she's been very easy to live with. We both are kind of like passing ships. We have to make appointments to see each other because we both have very busy lives.
Right.
But yeah, I love her more than life itself. And she's turned out to be this wonderful, wonderful woman.
Yeah.
Inside and out.
Be nice to have like her in this new phase of her life. She's no longer a student. She's an adult. Like, job and everything.
Job and everything, but she's studying for her Series 7, which she passed, and now her Series 6. So it's like okay. She's back in school with all the studying.
I was at the Real Housewives of New Jersey reunion when you called, and I have to know, what were you calling Melissa about?
I forgot. Melissa and I are friendly, and we got friendly even more so when we went out to do lip sync together, LL Cool's show. Cool. And I was calling her for something to ask her something. And then, you know, then I'm hearing this voice and I'm going, who is this? And it's Andy. I go, Andy, why are you answering Melissa's phone? He's like, well, why are you calling when we're doing the reunion? I go, well, I didn't know. So it was pretty funny. It was like, you know, Andy says I'm the first to do everything on the reunion.
It's true.
The first to walk off, the first to fall asleep, yep. and the first to call in and be on someone else's reunion.
Amazing. What do you think your first will be this season?
Oh, gosh. I can't even go that far.
I was asking Luann this yesterday. Is the boat ride, we've heard a lot in headlines, is it as bad as it's being made out?
Well, there was no fire and there was no rescue boat. But the waters were extremely rough and severe. The water was coming over the boat. The boat was definitely rocking tremendously, so much so that no one could film. And it was that part was scary.
Yeah. Looking back, what would you say over the last 10 years was your favorite?
Believe it or not, the favorite thing I filmed over the past 10 years was season 3 when I renewed the vows with my ex-husband and Avery was like the lady, not the maid of honor, but the maid of something, whatever you call her.
Yeah.
And Coco was the ring bearer. And it was a beautiful moment. It was a beautiful, beautiful moment.
You know, Carol said that Adam was her favorite part of Real Housewives of New York. And I remember thinking that's so nice because, like, even if they're not still together, that she still sees it as a positive. So it's nice to hear that you still look back on that as, like, a highlight, even though you're not with Mario anymore.
Yeah, I mean, things change in life. It's, you know, kind of strange, but it does. And that was a beautiful moment that we shared with our family and the viewers. And it was something quite spectacular.
Yeah. How have you kind of helped Luann through this divorce process?
You know, I think Luann, she's doing really great because she really took control of her life. She fell really hard, but she got up, and that's what counts. And I think by going through the therapy and being in AA and going away for a few weeks and just getting into herself and learning how to be by herself, you know what? She's great. And, you know, we all rallied around her. And that's one thing also about all of us women. You know, we may fight like thick as thieves, but you know what? If any of us are down and out, everyone rallies, and we rallied behind Luann, and she's doing spectacular.
Will we see these bonds between you and the other ladies tested? I mean, who might you have conflict with this season?
It's a very interesting question. I feel like this season I took more of a step back. I'm trying not to be so confrontational and be in all that heated arguments. And what I'm doing more, if someone's having, let's say, a disagreement, let's say it's Sonia and Tinsley, instead of telling them to their faces what I think they're both doing wrong or how they can make up, I take them each aside separately, quietly, to see if I can get them to slowly resolve their issues, because I think that's just the better way to do it. I'm just on a different head trip now. I don't know how long it's going to last, but it's definitely different. You know, even with Carol and Bethany, there's some things that are going on with them, and you know, I'll take Carol to the side and I'll say something positive about Bethany, hoping it will soften Carol. I'll take Bethany to the side, say something about Carol, hoping it'll soften her, because those are, like, you know, subtle things to say that makes people say, because I'm finding when you start confronting people in front of each other, let's say if Luann and Dorinda are angry at each other, if there's an audience there, they're not going to be, I don't want to use the word humble, they're not going to be as open. They feel like they have to look like the strong ass, you know?
Right.
So if you take someone to the side, go, hey, listen, I think this is what's going on. You know, take this in, think about it. It's a much stronger effect on helping people mend their fences.
So you're the peacekeeper kind of this season.
I don't know if it's a peacekeeper. I'm just trying to explain to them, like, hey, let's not hold a grudge. Let's try to move on from this and then try to explain the other person's position. Sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't work.
Tell me about the skincare line. I'm so interested.
I'm really excited about this. I worked with these leading chemists at this great lab. And I have cutting-edge ingredients, the Madrixol 3000 combined with the hyaluronic acid, with the Aquaporin 3 and all these other peptides that will change your skin. Like, immediately you'll feel the difference, and you'll see a difference in 2 weeks. And it's amazing. It's an amazing product, and it's endorsed by this doctor who, when I showed her the formula, she was amazed. She's like, you know, when you came to me, Ramona, I wasn't sure what you were showing me and what if I want to do this and endorse it, but this is incredible what you're doing. And she's like a really smart lady and very well known in her industry. So it's exciting. It's very exciting. And it's a type of business where I don't have to be there from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. at an office. I can work anywhere from any place because everything now is internet driven. So it's wonderful.
I love seeing your different beauty treatments on the show because right. you've done so many over the years, like new innovative things. Mm-hmm. What's something you're loving right now that's kind of a new innovative thing?
You know, there's really nothing, you know, there's no shortcuts, there's no tricks. The most important thing to do is never go to sleep with your makeup on, you know, use a soft cleanser so you don't pull your skin, and use anti-aging skincare every morning and every night, whether it's mine or someone else's. It's a must from the time you're 23.
So no more of those waffle burning facials?
You know, they can be good, they can be bad. You know, it depends on someone's skin. If you don't go to the right doctor, you could have permanent damage. So you have right. to be really careful in who you go to.
Yeah, totally. Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
You're so very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much, Ramona. Come back soon so Rachel can interview you.
Yeah.
She's dying to. All right, well, that's it.
Four Roni interviews.
I mean,
what?
Count them four.
Happy 4th of July, everyone.
Even though it's Thursday now.
I know, but you know.
Still. Okay. You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Meg Segura.
You can find me on Instagram at Suspiciously Small and on Twitter at Rachie Robb.
Nicole Day, tell the people where they can find you.
So you can find me on Twitter at...
All right, apparently Nicole does not want to be found.
Right.
So don't look.
She's just not ready to embrace her fame yet. Also, by the way, Nicole is very exclusive. Like, I asked to be her friend and it took a couple days to get Instagram approved.
Oh, yeah. We're not friends on Instagram.
Okay. It only took like 3 days. That's it. 72 hours.
And you can always talk to us by tweeting at Bravo TV using the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
And leave us a review on iTunes. We'll read some of our favorites this week.
Okay, bye everyone. Ta-ta.
Bye. The boys at the table getting tipsy. Miss me, kiss me.